In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, two of us, having lived as many years, hasn't wished at one time or another to be a kid again. I would dare say the number would be very small. It's a nice thought, and it would be really great if it could come true. But we know that in the end, we should not lose ourselves in such daydreaming. Alas, our childhood happens only once. But even if we're no longer children, we can remain childlike. Our blessed Lord tells us that we should be like children if we wish to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Some explain this requirement for adults as meaning we should be childlike and not childish. It doesn't mean that we as adults must suddenly start playing chase or hide and seek. But it does mean that we all should be innocent of sin and retain, or at least regain, that sense of childlike wonder in the presence of God and His majesty. It doesn't mean that we as adults should throw tantrums or run off and pout when we can't get our way. But it does mean accepting with a certain amount of maturity and humility and even in dignity, those things we may not be able to change, and trying instead to make the best of the situations that are presented to us, situations that we cannot often control. When we look out at the wonders that God has done, we should be amazed. We need only to read Psalm 8, and that should apply to any age group. Children achieve this amazement and wonder spontaneously. Adults usually have to work on it. As it is, we become subject to cynicism, fatigue, and discouragement. We can lose that sense of wonder and become bored and disenchanted, even with life. Any adult who tries to explain this world without God has definitely lost this childlike quality. St. Paul, in today's epistle, speaks of our being heirs with Christ. We have been like children in the sense of having to learn our lesson. When we move into adulthood, we should be ready to take over full responsibility for our inheritance. We enjoy being children, we hope, but we must eventually become adults. But it need not be something that we lament, a sad loss of innocence. It should actually be a progression into holiness. With the innocence of childhood retained, we can then take a more mature part in understanding and cooperating with God's will for us and striving every day to do that will. The best part of being an adult is that we have a more mature understanding, and a Christian adult means someone who has the wisdom of the years, but still has a childlike wonder and innocence. So with adulthood, we develop our various gifts and talents. We take on new responsibilities such as marriage, religious life, studies, careers, perhaps missionary activity or whatever it may be. If we look at the saints, we see in them an example of adult fulfillment. and the variety of ways in which the will of God can find expression in different people. God wants us to think for ourselves, but not in a rebellious way, like some sort of rebellious teenager. He wants us to think for ourselves how good and wise He is, and come to see His hand at work in all things. He wants us to think through His word to us, His providence for us, read the signs all around us, think how things could be different if we responded in a different way. Think about Christ at Bethlehem and being presented in the temple, how the humility of God should guide us. Think about the people who even reject God and why they do that. Think how we might be able to answer them, respond to them. There's a great need, as we know, for Catholic apologetics in the present world. Some might say, well, I'm not an academic. I don't read books, or in any case, I don't have the time. But also, it doesn't mean that we have to be academics, only that we are mature and responsible in the approach we take. Sometimes it's not the book answer that we need, but the answer that comes from straightforward charity. Look after the hungry man sleeping outside. And that's being adult in the true sense. Being present to our family members in need, for example. That's sometimes answer enough. Various answers to various questions, but all of them expressing the best of childhood and adulthood, innocence combined with wisdom. But I've lost all claim to innocence, some might say. It can be reclaimed through repentance and confession. This is why we have a priest in the confessional. And once reclaimed, it can be retained. We have to remember that we are forever rejuvenated in Christ, made young again. As we say at the beginning of every Mass, Ad Deum qui deificat juventutem meam. Unto God who giveth joy to my youth. And that way, what we have lost comes back. Without getting old, we grow into our full stature as adopted sons of God. So we see that it's not an impossible task, but it's one that takes a lot of hard work. In becoming like childlike, we seek that quality we see in children, which is their relative innocence and their capacity to trust. They just assume that they will be taken care of, looked after. We need to put our trust in God in the same way. When we look at the world in all its complexity, we oftentimes propose various solutions, more study, more discussions, more educations, more meetings, more troops, more spending. But none of those can match innocence. We need to be childlike, good and trusting of our Heavenly Father. We must go to Him in our need. If you think about it, I mean, how we labor to find worldly solutions to worldly problems. We make the problem through our sin. And then we try to solve those problems in worldly ways, and it usually turns out poorly. For example, the trend in England is to ban all pointy knives because people stab each other. Here in the United States, we have the same thing. They wish to infringe on our Second Amendment rights and ban guns because criminals kill other people. amazing. Utter nonsense. Worldly solutions are not what we need. What we do need is innocence, to avoid getting into trouble in the first place, and then to get out of trouble when we get into it. It's simple enough to understand, but not always easy to achieve. How to be pure when we've been otherwise. But we ask the Lord to make us so. If I want to be pure, I pray for purity. If I want to be humble, I pray for humility. If I want to be charitable, I pray for charity. And then I strive in my daily life to effectuate those prayers, to actually do what I'm praying for. And God, as we know, will give us the grace to do so, to support our will. We ask the Lord to cleanse our hearts of malice, of envy, of hatred, and impurity, and our minds of all worldliness. This is why we need to make frequent and heartfelt confession and have a serious purpose of amendment. My friends, we need to humble ourselves before the infant king lying in the creche now, and we need to humble ourselves before God at all times. It's wonderfully simple that we can solve all our problems just by acknowledging we can't solve them. When we pray like this, we're getting in touch with that great power without obstructing every needless complication, not being naive and being wise, not neglecting responsibilities, but approaching them in the right way, not being childish, but being childlike, doing what God asks of us after all and calling on Him. The more fervently we do this, the more trustingly, the better off we are, the more likely we'll have a favorable answer. The prophet Jeremiah once said, "Go back to the start. Halt at the crossroads. Look well at the path that served you long ago. That path follow." Good advice, that. The path of childlike trust and innocence. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.